if it was put on, it'd get tiresome after a while. Amen. We've been doing it for almost 60 years now. It sure wear thin if it's something you had to put on. But I can tell you, it just gets better a long way.
Yeah, yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise
God. When I was a kid, and we lived out in the country, didn't have a church, no preachers around there. And they used to sing, mostly the Free Methodists, kind of led a little Sunday school. And they didn't believe in pianos or any kind of a musical instrument. They'd sing without any musical instruments. And they would sing, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. You know? And I heard that song so many times, I just hated it. But I'm glad to tell you I love to sing it now. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Must have the Savior with me. Well, I want to tell you we're happy to be here with you in service tonight. I feel a good spirit of God here.
Hallelujah.
I appreciate Brother Sister Woodard, your pastor, and their hospitality to us. We're just happy for this time of being here. And he asked if I would just give a little home, kind of a little testimony, I guess. And I do have much to praise the Lord for tonight. We're happy to be with Norm and Linda and Joshua. And he's awake tonight. He went to sleep before I started to preach last night. I threatened him. Stay awake here tonight. Praise the Lord. And I believe that our lives are in His hands, and many times beyond our own knowledge. First of all, I do thank God for our family. Thank God for my good wife. She lived with me almost 60 years. It will be in September.
Wonderful.
And she's been a very faithful companion. We raised 6 children, 3 boys and 3 girls. And we thank God for our family, their love for God, and so on. And Norm's part of the offspring, you know. But I'd like to just go back a little bit and tell you about something that happened when I was 2 years old and I didn't know anything about this. My folks lived in the state of Oklahoma. And one day while my father was downtown, I believe it was on a Saturday afternoon, he said, and the train stopped in this little town called Welch, Oklahoma, a little town in the northeast corner, out by Vanita. And a man got off of the train, and he had a Bible in his hand and a little bedroll with some things in it. My father said he went over to the street corner, and there were a lot of men standing around. Everybody used to go to town on Saturday, you know, in the little towns. And he said he got up on a little, kind of a little cement embankment there, and he called to the men and said, come over, I've got something good to tell you. And this man opened his Bible, had his open Bible, to Acts, the 2nd chapter. And he had a smile on his face. And among other things, he said, God is pouring out His Spirit today as He did in the days of the apostles.
Amen.
Now this man's name was Ed Pearson. He was out of Parham's Bible School in Topeka, Kansas, where the Holy Ghost first fell in 1901. He was among the first 12 who was ordained there in Parham's Bible School. He had formerly been a Quaker, but he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so he stood there and shared this truth, that God is pouring out His Spirit as He did in the days of the apostles.
Amen.
And now my folks belonged to a church, and their pastor was right downtown there and happened to be there. And he had told my folks and everybody else that the Holy Spirit wasn't for you today, it was just for the apostles, you know. And so they settled for that. They thought, well, you know, they ate it all up, and so we take what's left, you know. Well, he changed the story. He said, the Holy Ghost is for you today, just like it was in the days of God's pouring out His Spirit. Well, as he finished his witness there and so on, of course he met the preacher, which was my father's pastor there, and he asked the man if he could stay all night. And the preacher refused him. And when Dad heard that his preacher refused to give that man a place to stay, he stepped up and said, "You can stay at our house." So the man took his Bible and his little things he had with him and came to our house. My mother was home, and they said when he stepped in the house, the first thing he said was, "Peace be to this house. Let us pray." And he fell on his knees and prayed. And Dad said the chills went all up and down his back as that man prayed. Well, anyway, he stayed there a few days, and he taught the folks in the Word of God, showed them in the Scriptures about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that God opened their hearts to the Word. You know God does that?
Yeah.
When Paul obeyed the Macedonian call and went to Philippi, God first opened the heart of a woman, Lydia. The Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened to the message. And I don't cease to thank God that He opened the heart of my parents to the message that man brought.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, when he left there, he did come back later on. But when he left there, he encouraged them to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My mother's a kind of a quiet woman and a timid woman. And she said when she began to pray, she was even almost afraid of her own voice. And among other things, he said, "Praise the Lord, you know, worship the Lord and praise the Lord." And so she figured out how she could praise the Lord. She memorized the 103rd Psalm, the first few words. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless Amen. The Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits.
Amen.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases."
Amen.
So she memorized that. Amen. And every day she would go and pray, and that's the way she would seek the Holy Ghost. One afternoon, while she was kneeling in that home alone, quoting the 103rd Psalm, she said the light of God flooded that room. And God baptized her with the Holy Ghost, and she spoke in tongues.
Hallelujah.
Father came in from the field, and for supper that night, she said, "Dad, I believe I got that Holy Ghost Brother Pearson was telling us about." And he said, "Did you speak in tongues?" And she said, "Yes." Well, he says, "Let me hear you." Well, she says, "You wait till after supper, and we'll go and pray." I thought that was pretty good reason.
Yeah, amen.
You know, a lot of people just want you to pull it out and show it to them.
Amen.
Well, they went and prayed after supper, and the Holy Ghost came on her again, and she spoke in tongues. And Dad said, "That's it." Well, needless to say, their family, their relatives thought they went crazy over religion. And they run into a lot of opposition. Well, I'm glad to tell you, this Brother Pearson came back again a couple of times and brought some workers with him, and they had some meetings in that town. And as far as I know from what the folks told me, the only converts they had was my mother and father and a half-wit. The only people that believed what they said. But about a year after they had received this experience, my folks moved to the state of Idaho. And that was 1911. that they moved out to North Idaho, then in Southern Idaho, Twin Falls, in about 1912. But I'd like to tell you this. It was 6 years after they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost before they ever found another person that had the experience or knew what they were talking about. But I'm glad to tell you they didn't backslide. Praise the Lord. And my dad was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the folks took up a home in Southern Idaho. Now, homestead in those days, we actually moved out on the homestead in 1913. And I was 5 years old. And it was sagebrush and jackrabbits and coyotes. That's all we had out there. They built a little shack, and afterward, it was a greenery. We lived in that, and then Dad built a house. But 5 years on the homestead, and there was no Christian fellowship or churches or anything like that out there. But God used them during that time among the neighbors and others. I remember we had a neighbor, and they were nominal Christian people, good people. And he got spotted fever. If you know anything about spotted fever, back in those days it was almost fatal. Caused from tick bite, lots of ticks in that country. The sage ticks. And this man was, one of our neighbors, was very sick. Mom and Dad got on a big old bay mare, both of them rode her bareback, and rode down to this neighbor's and said, "We come down to pray for Clay." His name is Clay Sullivan. And they prayed for that neighbor man that night. He had been delirious, hadn't eaten, had a high fever, and they thought he was going to die. But thank God, the next morning he sat up in bed and said, "I want something to eat." Well, I could tell you a lot of other things. Like I say, we lived out and moved away from the homestead, then moved into a cattle country, and still didn't have any church out there. The folks raised us right and told us the right things to do. When we got a little older, we didn't always do it. I don't tell people all my sins. God knows them, and he's forgotten them, so why should I remind everybody else? But I'm glad that you can bury them.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My older brother and myself, as we got older, because we raised on horse, we had to ride 3.5 miles through the sagebrush to go to school. He rode in the saddle and I rode behind. If you never done that, you missed something. I won't say you missed a lot of good things, but Dad said he'd get us a nice pony, and when he said he was going to get us a pony, I had in my mind a beautiful little bay pony, you know. When he brought our pony out to the old homestead, it was a pinto mare with a glass eye and a snort in her nose. And the first morning we got on to go to school, Dad got in the saddle, and then he put my brother on behind. He run her around the corral a few times, you know. "She's all right, boys." And so my brother got in the saddle. He threw me up behind and turned her loose, and she started to buck across that corral, and I took a nosedive and froze the door pile and got up scared to death, you know. What did Dad do? I grabbed that old mare and jerked around a few times and threw me up on there again. Man, I had a death grip on my brother that time. And she started to run, and we headed for school. Now, I can't tell you how many times I got bucked off. I could look out the schoolhouse window and tell by humping her back what was going to happen when school was over. I said, no wonder I didn't learn much. I worried. Anyway, that is part of my education. Then we moved out of there to another area, which was a ranch country. And we grew up in the saddle, my brother and I especially. And when he got old enough, he left home, went punching cows down Nevada. I followed suit a little later. And that's where I was when God turned me around, down in the state of Nevada. And I didn't even know it was God, but something said to me one day. It was late in the fall of 19, in fact, it was around close to the 1st of November of 1926. I was on the back of an old Mustang out on the north side of Nall Mountain, gathering cattle out there, the last roundup in the fall there. And something said to me, "This is not your life." Now, I didn't say it in my ear. I didn't hear an audible voice, but that just come to me. I mean, it was just, "This is not your life." And I believe now that it was God speaking to me. I didn't realize it was God then. But anyway, from the time I left that spot till I got back down to the ranch where our outfit was, I made up my mind I was going to quit. And I told the boss. I said, "In about a month, I'm going to quit." And about a month, I did. I saddled up my own horse and rode from Contact, Nevada, to Rock Creek, where we lived in Idaho. Folks had moved to town. I went and stayed with a neighbor. I'm just telling you this. You know, God has things timed beyond our understanding. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, one day my dad said to my cousin and I want you boys to go down to the mission storefront. I want you to hear a boy preacher. That's what he called him. He's a young man, about 22 or 3 years old. My dad called him a boy preacher. And the boy preacher sounded interesting to me. I never heard a boy preacher. Well, anyway, we went down there, and I felt conviction the first night I was in there. I don't remember at all what he preached, but I can remember the glory of God I saw in his face. I felt the presence of God, something there. The third night we went there, I was really arrested with Holy Ghost conviction. And I went to the altar. And I can't say that I received a great experience that first night, because that was the first time I'd ever knelt at an altar where they were saying hallelujah, praise God, and so on. And some were seeking the Holy Ghost all around me, making all that noise. And it was just, to me, I couldn't make much out of it, you know. It didn't sound like it did afterward. But I was hooked with conviction anyway. Well, a few nights on down, a week or so after that, I'm glad to tell you that God gave me a real baptism in the Holy Ghost. Before that happened, though, that first night, maybe a second night, I don't remember, one of the first three nights that we went down, one of the men who was a worker in the church there and a minister knelt down by my cousin and myself and said, "Will you give up the world and all of its pleasures to serve Jesus?" He asked us that question. And I said, "Yes." Well, my cousin said, "I'll try." You know how much difference there is between a real yes and an "I'll try"?
Yes.
An eternity of difference. I'm glad he asked me that. I never appreciated that until the further down the road I've gotten through the years. The more I appreciated it, it involved my will. And let me tell you something. Your salvation involves your will.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that come to the altar and will cry puddles of tears that never surrender their will to God. And they don't get much. Nobody does. Sin is a result of willful transgression. And salvation is a result of willful obedience.
Amen.
I will. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. It involves your will.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God. God has been good. I thank God that I got a real experience with God. I wanted reality. I didn't want somebody imposed on me or shook in me or shook out of me. I wanted the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I'm glad the Lord can satisfy you with reality.
Yes. Yes.
Real reality. Praise the Lord. My wife was already in the church. Of course, she wasn't my wife then. She was. She had a boyfriend. That's another story. I won't have time for that. But after we had been married about a year and a half, something like that, through Brother W.L. Stahl, who was a pastor where we got saved in the old mission.
My pastor when I was a girl.
How's that?
He was my pastor when I was a girl.
Is that a fact? Well, you know who I'm talking about. Man of God. He went down to Baldwin Park and took the church in Baldwin Park, California. And he invited us to come to California to a conference in Fresno. And I won't tell you what a time we had getting there. But you talk about freeways. They were in heaven, I guess. They weren't on earth at that time. But we spent a year and a half, about a year and 18 months there with Brother Morris, and we got some very good training. And then the Lord, step by step, has led us along. Well, I'm just giving you a little list. Brother Woodward said just tell a little bit, so I am telling you a little bit. So we are in the kingdom of God by the grace of God, and I've often thought of this man who come to bring this message to our family. He never knew, I'm sure he never lived to know the fruit of his labor. He might have thought that he had no success, just one family. But I'm glad to say there are a lot of people in the kingdom of God today because of one family.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ministers and missionaries and workers and children and grandchildren and on and on. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I can tell you how the first Pentecost my folks met in Idaho after 6 years. They had gone to a farm sale, and my mother was sitting talking to some women, and she found a woman there that had come from Arkansas that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And these were people who had come out of Brother Opperman's Bible school down in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And they had baptized in Jesus' name. That's the first time, of course, they heard of that, and on. And so our folks came in to that wonderful experience. Well, I say that to say God's ways are right. He does wonderful things. You can trust God. It's safe to trust Him. And our labors are not in vain in the Lord. Don't we have good news? I'm glad somebody, you know, not very many years ago, and just a few short years ago, I met some people from the same church denomination that my folks belong to, and they told me their preacher was still telling them what their pastor was telling my folks back in 1910. It's not for you today. It's just for the apostles. Isn't that awful? Isn't that sad? Aren't you glad to know God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh?
Amen.
Praise God. And you can be alive in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And love Him and serve Him and know Him. And I thank God today for this wonderful truth and for His reality and in serving Him. Now, we've been in the Lord's work in many areas and over the past years of pastoring and in Bible college work. And I was home missions director 8.5 years for the United Pentecostal Church. And we've had the privilege of visiting a number of mission fields around the church, around the world, to minister to God's people and to teach in Bible schools. and so on. And I just thank God every time I wake up and every morning for the blessing of His presence, for His grace. We haven't done anything great. And I suppose if I was trying to sum up what my ministry is now and what we're trying to do, if I have a label, I suppose I'm going to try to put on my ministry. I'm not a prophetic preacher. I've heard too many of them, and some of them are right and some are wrong, some are off and some are on. I believe in prophecy, and I don't consider myself an evangelist, but if I have any kind of a ministry, I guess you'd call it the ministry of encouragement.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I tell you, God's people need some encouragement in these days, in the work of the Lord. Because between the pressures of the world and all the other things that come against us, we need the strength that comes from God's Word in our lives to help us to be strong, to stand true and faithful to God in this day. Now, I'm going to just talk to you a little bit from the Bible tonight. And I didn't even look at the clock when I started, but I'm going to quit pretty soon. But I'd like to pass something on to you that I hope will be a blessing and a help to you. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to read some verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Reading from verse... from verse 4 down through verse 7. And now remember, this is the last letter that Paul wrote. This was Paul's final epistle, the last letter he wrote to anybody. And he wrote it to a young man who was his son in the gospel, and he loved him, I'm sure, very much. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear or cowardice, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You may be seated. I'd like to talk to you for just a little bit tonight about what you become in the purpose of God. What you become in the purpose of God. You see, God has good things in mind for His children. When He called the disciples, for an example, Peter and them, he not only gave them a call, He gave them a promise.
Yes.
He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They were already fishers of fish, but he said, I will make you fishers of men. That's not only a call, that's a promise. And it's interesting to see the process through which they passed to become what God wanted them to be. Uh-huh. And now, the Apostle Paul here speaking to Timothy reminds him that God has not called us according to our works or because we are so good. And we need to remind ourselves of that as we walk with God. We are nothing. God is good and God is gracious. And it isn't because we were so smart or so good or so well behaved that God couldn't help but call us. He called us not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Isn't that good to know that God would think on us? You know, some people think, well, God is so high and so holy and so big. Who am I? But let me tell you something about God. And the Bible shows us that God could not be satisfied with stars and planets and moons and mountains and seas. He made all those things first. That was not enough. There was something in God that He wanted someone that He could reciprocate with and communicate with.
Yeah.
And so that's why after God had made everything, He said it was good, and it was good. Then He made man. And let me tell you something about man. We kind of get a cheap concept of men because we see how mean they are sometimes. But do you know the angels could not have been made in a higher image than man was made in? Man was made in God's image and His likeness. And if I tell you tonight, I'd rather be saved by the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost and alive tonight.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ, I'd rather be that than be an angel. Because God has revealed to us how much He loves me.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Even after they had sinned and man had transgressed against Him, praise God, God sought for us. God reached for us. And God made a way for us. Why couldn't He have written it all off and said, well, bang, we'll start all over again? No, He didn't, though. Praise the Lord. He sought for us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's love. You know, love will go a long way. And I'm glad that that's the God I know. I remember growing up as a kid, you know, you think about God, and man, He seemed like He's, you know, where? Well, way off in the beautiful isle somewhere, wherever that is. But it's wonderful to know as you go along, you can see God reaching, God seeking, God in Himself not being satisfied until we're brought back to Him, reconciled. Mm-hmm. The other day, I was dealing with a couple last Saturday. A couple from Czechoslovakia. They've been over here about 2 years. One of the ladies in our church witnessed to them 18 months ago. Met them in a dentist's office. And they're a young couple with two little boys. And she hadn't heard from them until just a few days ago. Gave her a call. And wanted to talk to her. And she went over and talked to them. And they're hungry for God. They've been raised in a Roman Catholic church over there. But they didn't have anything, and they're dissatisfied, and they didn't know who to trust. And so this lady from our church is a Czechoslovakian descent, and so they thought they could trust her, so they called her up. And I went to talk to her. You know, I said I'm beginning to talk to those people, and I could talk to them about redemption. They don't even know what I'm talking about. I talk about reconciliation. They don't know. Reconciliation, what they don't. They didn't even know there's such a thing as a fall of man. And so we use a lot of phrases, you know, and a lot of things that are very familiar to us, but there's a world out here that don't know. But I am glad to tell you tonight that there's something in God that could not be satisfied with trees and rivers and planets,
hallelujah,
stars and galaxies, and so on. There's something that God wants in you.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. And He says, it's not complete without you. And I'm glad that's why He sets His Spirit upon us and sets His love upon us and reaches for us. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that?
Amen.
He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I'm glad God knows and God sees and God reaches.
Yeah.
And it's not an afterthought with God. Praise God. He planned it that way. He wants us. Hallelujah. And if you feel like you're an orphan out on a limb somewhere trying to get to God, let me tell you something. You better just understand his plan and his reach. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the arm of his salvation. He is God's reach. And he's come to reach us. And he's come to bring us into his family and to make us his own. And when you talk about reconciliation, I always think of something that happened when I guess I was about 14 years old, and my older brother's 2 years and 4 months older than I was. And I remember one Sunday, he and my dad had a fuss about something. I don't know what it was. I was outside and it was in the house. And my brother came out the door, and I was standing out by the gate. And he had his horse all saddled up, tied there at the gate. And I usually had one around, but I didn't that day. And he had tears in his eyes, and I saw he was mad, and I said, what's the matter? He said, I'm leaving here. And we lived about a couple of miles from the mountains. He got on that old horse and headed for the hills. And I wanted to go too. Man, he wouldn't wait. I'd have to catch a horse and so on, and Dad would have stopped me. But he took off. Well, I can remember how I didn't sleep much that night, thinking about where in the world will he be? Where is he? It was the next day or the next day, I've forgotten which. Dad got one of the neighbors, and this neighbor and my dad and myself got in a big old Huffmobile car. One of the long old began to drive back up through the what they call Shoshone Basin. And we'd stop at a place, and Dad'd say, have you seen a boy on a bay horse? No, I haven't seen him. Well, anyway, we saw an old cowboy coming towards us on a horse. And when we got to him, we stopped, and Dad said, you see a boy on a bay horse? Yeah, he said, he's up the cow at the old chuck wagon, up at Chimney Springs. He just got there. He just, this cowboy just come. Well, we drove up there, and there was the old chuck wagon and all the fellows sitting around, just time to eat. And if you ever saw a surprised guy in your life, it was my brother when we drove up there, and he just got there and unsaddled his horse, and they're eating with the cowboys. Well, and anyway, my dad, after he ate, my dad took him around on the back side of the wagon, away from everybody else, and I followed him around there. And Dad said, son, I want you to come home. I mean, Dad said with tears in his eyes, son, I want you to come home. They had a little reconciliation.
Thank you.
Every time I think of reconciliation, I think of that. They got things together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Throwed his saddle in the old car and turned the pony loose. She was about 3 months, she come home. But he come home. And I'm glad there is something in God's heart that reaches for human beings.
Amen.
If you got a rebel in your family, if you got somebody that's setting their brakes against God, you better know something about God's attitude. I tell you, he's gracious.
Yes, he is. Amen.
He's patient.
Thank you.
He's long-suffering. There's a lot of us wouldn't be in the kingdom of God if God had been as short in patience as some of us are. You know, a lady said something to me one day in the, when I was in Ohio a while back, in a, sitting in the church office. She just come and asked me a question I'd never thought of before. She said, "Brother Yaden, what if the prodigal son would have met his older brother before he met his father?" Well, it would have been a different story. You know what he would have met? He would have met hatred. He'd have met criticism. He'd have met prejudice. He'd have met resentment. But I'm glad he met his father before he met his older brother. And you know, that's what people need to meet first. They need to meet the Savior first. They need to meet the Savior first.
Hallelujah.
Preaching to preachers, I tell them they need to meet the Savior before they meet the church. They need to meet the Savior first.
Yes.
Praise God. See, he's the one. Now, Paul said he loved us. He saved us. And he called us with a holy calling. Not according to our righteousness, but according to his own purpose and grace. That tells me that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And the potential of what you can become in the purpose of God is governed by how much we give ourselves to God's call and to God's purpose. Paul writing to the Romans, he speaks of himself, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. I kind of like that. That shows his relationship, his position. Then he said, called to be an apostle. That was his calling. And so God has called us to be his servant. Praise the Lord. I like to be a servant. I'm glad I don't run the whole show. I like to be a servant. I like to hear him say, "This is the way it ought to be done." Praise the Lord. And the more we learn to lean on the Lord, trust in God, the more joy it is to serve him. Really it is. You know, preachers think, well, you've been out here preaching 50 years or whatever. Man, you ought to have sermons and just, you know, never have to pray, never have to study, just get up and preach them again and again. Now you can do that if you want to, but I tell you something. I've found out something through the years. The further down the road I get, the more I have to lean on the Lord. You know what God said to the people of Israel? He said, when you get over there in that land, you're not living in the wilderness, you're not in a tent anymore, you move into a sealed house, you're drinking out of wells you didn't dig, you're eating fruit from vineyards you didn't plant, your cattle's fat and everything is going well, be careful. He also tells us in Romans chapter 8, he said, we're called to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful family privilege. Praise the Lord to belong to the family of God.
Amen.
And I tell you folks, it's no joke. The family of God is wonderful.
Hallelujah.
No matter where you go, around this world, wherever you go, the family of God is wonderful.
Yes.
Some years ago, I was down in Brazil, we down on the Amazon with Brother DeMerchant. And he had a seaplane. We flew down the Amazon and onto a tributary there for a meeting in a native church right out in the jungles where the monkeys live. And this little native church, we taxied up to the edge of the water and there was this little church there. And the sides, of course, were open. And we waited there until, well, actually dark. And then hear people become, talk about a bus ministry, they had a canoe ministry. These little lights, you know, you see them, here they come. Some walking down jungle trails, singing songs, coming to church. Well, this is what I want to tell you. I had never been in a jungle church just like that one until that night. And the dirt floor, those people come and fill that place. Now, I couldn't understand their singing. I couldn't understand their language. And the food was different. Everything was different. But there's one thing that wasn't different. God identified with them people by His presence. The Spirit of God came in that place. God filled some with the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, I could shout and rejoice and identify with the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
And you can just find that anywhere in this world. I say it's the greatest privilege in the world to be part of God's wonderful family.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
He's
called us into it. It's His will. It's His purpose. And we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Then most of all, He wants our body to become the temple. God wants to dwell with us. God made it very clear to the people of Israel the reason why God gave the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the whole program that He gave Israel back in there. God said the purpose of it was that I may dwell with you.
Amen.
Isn't it something that God wants to dwell with us?
Hallelujah.
And so they built their whole structure around God's plan. Well, I can tell you something better than that. You are the temple of the living God. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands anymore. Let me just remind you of this. Jesus came to this world. Spent the years that He did spend here. He didn't leave behind one building that He built. He didn't leave a book that He wrote. He did not leave any tangible things that you could say, well, this is the institution that He left. But I tell you what He did do. He put something in the hearts of men.
Yeah.
He made His investment on the inside. You see, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the day of Pentecost and filled 120 Galileans in the upper room, Peter said, "This Jesus whom you crucified has shed forth this which you now see and hear." Praise the Lord. That Jesus that you thought you wiped out has been raised from the dead, and He's the administrator of what's going on here today. Praise the Lord. Just shortly down the road you'll find that Stephen stood and gave the testimony before the Sanhedrin and said, "God dwelleth not in temples made with hands." You couldn't say anything to those Jews that had made them feel worse because they thought they had God locked up in their temple and in their testimony, in their whole structure. But I'm glad to say God has moved. Jesus said, "Your house is left to you desolate."
Yes.
I have to tell you something. God don't run His program backwards. You're the temple of the living God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What's the mystery of the ages past? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You're the temple of the living God. And God said, "I'll put my Spirit in them. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be mine."
Hallelujah.
Talk about a relationship. Yes. You don't have to go up to bring Him down or down to bring Him up. He said, "I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll live in them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad for the fellowship of the Spirit?
Amen.
Glory to God. Blessed be so you don't have to cook up something to get God in a good humor.
Thank you, Jesus.
So he'll be nice to you today. Praise God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If God speaks to this world, he'll probably speak through a human being. I told some people some time back, I said, it's very likely if you ever hear from God, or God ever speaks to you, it's most likely that he will speak to you through a human being. They were kind of disappointed. But I could like to tell you, men are God's methods. Men build institutions and they build memorials and all of these other things, but God invests in human beings. Praise the Lord. And you're the temple of the living God. And on we could go tonight, and I'm not going to keep you long, but I'd like to just say this. The Bible teaches us very, very clearly that we become the habitation of God through the Spirit. You say, where is God? Well, there was a time, I believe you could have said, he's in the temple, his Shekinah glory dwelled between the cherubims. He identified with his people. That's where the holiness of God came in. The whole thing was God's presence made it that way. But as you move on down through the Word of God and through time and see how God moves, it just makes you to know that his ways are right. And he's doing a great thing in the earth today. And I'm just going to close with this, but I just want to say tonight, I thank God. I say I thank God to be alive in this day when we can know him in the power of the Holy Ghost. When we know what it is to be in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Come to God with a repentant spirit. Come to God, I say, with a repentant spirit. Praise God. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's not just a church ceremony. That's a divine transaction. Praise God. And because he lives, we shall live also. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, we've got a lot to praise him for.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If some of you feel like your struggle is almost too much for you, let me just tell you, folks, it's cheap at any cost. Praise God. What little we pass through in this life matters very little compared to the eternal rewards in loving and serving Jesus Christ. Some of the finest people that I've ever met in my life who impressed me deeply are people who have come through the fire and through the furnace, through a lot of afflictions, but with a pure spirit. They have loved and served God in this hour. I believe we can do it too. God has good things in mind for his people. I say this, the best thing in the world. You can't buy an insurance fund, a policy like this. Thank God. Shall we stand together?
Praise
God. Thank you.
sing more. I know a very fine woman who is the pastor of one of our, or wife of one of our pastors. And a wonderful woman. But she told one of her friends sometime back, she had been in a meeting and she said, "I come from that meeting for the first time in my life feeling like God loved me." Now think of that. She's been a pastor's wife for years, but she always had that little feeling like God kind of holds me off arm's length. I'm not quite in the family like I ought to be. Well, let me tell you, God don't tolerate you. God loves his children. Praise God. And some of them get their foot in their mouth. But he still loves them. He don't love all of our nonsense and a lot of other things. But he helps us. Where would we be but for his mercy? Let's worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory tonight in Jesus' name. Bless this people tonight, Lord, with your presence. Encourage the hearts of your children, Lord, to look up and to love God and serve you and walk before you.